It's Bemaz and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Anything going on the past couple days, Joe?
No, it's been pretty pretty boring,
quiet,
which is nice.
Typical summer.
Don't you like that?
Kind of crazy, right? lots of news to get to, but great to be here with you on WBEN. You heard from Joe yesterday as yes. News was breaking. I mean, what was the reaction yesterday, like in the hours that it happened?
I mean, kind of like your last guest said, not surprised that it happened, surprised when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when Joe Biden limped up the stairs after announcing he had COVID, I thought, well, okay, if we get this decision, and I was still 50-50 if it would ever happen, it wouldn't be until he's back in the White House, Oval Office address. I mean, a week after he gives an Oval Office address about toning down the rhetoric, he steps out of the race. It is very interesting how quickly this all happened. But most people were surprised when it happened. But I think a lot of people who followed this and are on top of this knew it was eventually going to happen.
Yeah. Shock factor for you, 803-0930. Were you surprised at all by the decision yesterday? Maybe, you know, like Joe said, maybe you were surprised at how it happened, when it happened. But were you surprised that it happened? I have to say myself, like, I don't think so. You know, I told the story at the debate, right? Which, by the way, this has to now be the worst debate performance in history.
Yes.
For it to lead to an incumbent president just dropping out of the debate dropping out of the race 3 weeks after a debate takes place. There's no other way around it. Like, that has to be, like, this is going to replace the Nixon-Kennedy debate as the one that gets used in history classes for the rest of time.
A huge flop, and I guess Trump won the rematch. Now we'll just see if he can win the election.
I guess so. but I was not surprised that this happened. Ever since the debate, because of how I heard about it, and I was talking about this before, because I was in Las Vegas.
That's right.
While this debate was going on, I missed the debate itself live, you know, saw it after. But the first thing I saw was I turned on CNN, you know, which is not the place you. And they had the, you know, thing scrolling across the screen of Democrats wonder, should, you know, the president exit the race? And it said, like, wow, this must have not went good for the president.
That was an understatement.
But seeing that and, like, seeing how seriously people on CNN were taking this,
yep.
You had that, like, that's not something they just put on the screen there in the hours after the debate. Like, there's been discussion about this already. And then seeing the performance, you know that the American people are not looking at this with confidence of 4 more years, considering the decline from 2020 to 2024 that you've seen. So, like I said, I think a lot of people were probably thinking that same thing. Likely, just a matter of when it was going to happen. We got our answer yesterday.
We did. And now, question mark of who will be at top of the ticket. Obviously, a lot of people pointing to Kamala Harris. She's gotten a lot of support from members of Congress and members of Senate. I think the bigger question is who the VP will be. But Brian, that debate, because we talked about this off the air, and we disagree on this, and that, I think we know why it was put so early. I think we know why it was June 27th. I do think there were questions, either among his staff or people in the Democratic Party. Let's get this debate out of the way early for two reasons. Number one, so we can recover from it, or so we can assess the situation. And that's on me. Sorry. I put my drink in the worst place possible.
I thought that might be on me. I was just trying to move the phone, and all of a sudden, kerplunk goes...
No, that was me. I'm sorry. I will.
Smells better in here, though.
Yeah, I will take full blame. That was... Don't put your can between a cord.
Don't worry, anyone listening. We didn't get it on any equipment.
No. We did ruin the carpet, which looks great.
Yeah. It's one of the worst calls in the history of presidential campaigns to have an early debate. I don't think it was done with the attention of, you know, putting your feet in the water kind of the way that you're describing here of like just testing out like, how is it going to do? I just think it was made to, like the reaction goes, to make up ground in the polls. People who are around their candidate, and this is true for any party. I mean, Joe, think about, and we talk about this in primary season a lot. The people who work for campaigns that most of us can see are not going anywhere, right? I'm trying to think of a candidate on, you know, either side.
Mike Pence.
Yes, exactly, right? Like any of these Republican candidates who, you know, I think we were talking about Ramaswamy. Yeah, because he made it kind of far, but there was, you know, clearly a point where, you know, everyone saw, well, it's definitely not going to be him. It probably was, you know, immediately, but everyone kind of had this idea. So, well, it's not going to be him. And most, you know, people who with the head on their shoulders can see that. You can see like, all right, there's a few front runners and all these other people will be dropping out at some point. They don't really stand a chance. The people working in those campaigns and around those people, if they do think that, Joe, they've got a great poker face and way of hiding it because they are true believers. They believe, you know, with they could be have not won a single electoral vote, be going 0.1% in all the polls, and they're still like, you know what, this guy could be the president. And you still get that. And I think that's kind of what you saw here, because when you're around the guy, when you're in your own little bubble, you think it's all going to work out okay and be just fine. And we'll show him we did great. I mean, what did we hear from? I'm trying to think of some of the quotes from, and I can't even think of the name, from the Biden team after the press conference or after some of these interviews. And how they just crushed it. Like, absolutely. Like, what a masterful performance. And that's true belief. It really is. It is true belief. It's true belief in the same way, Joe, that when we were talking about Alec Baldwin. And he goes on and does an interview and said something to the effect, I don't know if this is the exact quote, but he said something to the effect of, I didn't, you know, pull that trigger. When it's, you know, kind of clear, you did. But what I said was, I see how he says that, because you kind of like, there's no way I could do it, right? You put yourself in that situation. There's no way I did this. Like, I can't believe it happened. You're in such a state of shock and disbelief, and you tell yourself one thing enough that you actually truly believe it. And I said, forget the interview. You could put him, hook him up to a lie detector test, and I bet you he would pass saying that because he truly believes it. And that's the same way these people believe in their candidates, in their team.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's completely different campaigning for someone than just supporting someone, but I mean, even as a Trump supporter, Brian, even as a Trump supporter, I will, you know, I'll say stuff like, maybe stay on script next speech, or did you have to tweet that out? Did you have to say something dumb? Why are you putting your foot in your mouth, right? Like, all things I can see as a supporter of somebody, I just can't imagine that someone on the campaign sees the guy every day reading from note cards because everything has to be scripted within that presidency. Couldn't see. Maybe he's not ready for 4 more years.
I don't know. I think it is a little, there's that like true believer factor that it's like until the last moments. I mean, think of
bringing
everybody.
Up the primary. That, I mean, that's a great point because you see someone run their, throw their name and you go, who? But yeah, they have a campaign like, hey, we're going to get this person's name out. They're going to be the next Obama who entered that race. No one thought Obama was going to win in 08. And he, you know, had people who believed.
Well, think of all the voices that you've heard in the past 24 hours who just days ago said, you know, yes, a Biden president, we're 100% behind Joe Biden after the debate and the weeks after. And now all of a sudden, great decision by Joe Biden to, you know, leave the race. He did what's best. We're totally in support of Kamala Harris. Like, you know, doing a total 180 and just taking it in total stride. I don't know. It's interesting. And I do want to hear from people on this 803-0930 on a couple of things of, you know, what you thought of the timing, like your shock factor. And then also this, Joe, I got this in the email, a new survey out. And, you know, these polls are, when you look at...
You wonder who they're asking.
Well, the American Psychiatric Association, I'm guessing they're asking a lot of stressed out people. Because in a poll that they just released, they say nearly three quarters, 73% of respondents say they're feeling anxious and are stressed out about the election. Does that describe you? And what do you think of that? 73% say they're feeling stressed out about the election. 803-0930, is that you or no?
It's not me. Now, I pay a lot of attention to politics, right? We talk about it a lot. I probably follow it more than I should, and I realize the average American doesn't. I mean, the average American will wake up, maybe read a headline or two, and go on with their day. But I will tell you this, Brian, because since you read that poll to me before the show, I've been thinking about it. And if they're asking the people who buy on to this line from the one side of the political aisle who's telling you democracy's on the ballot, if you honestly believe that, then I can see why you'd be stressed out. But I don't think that poll represents a majority of Americans. I don't think it represents a majority of our listeners. I mean, it's July 22nd. Most people are stressed about, when's my next vacation?
Yeah.
That's the stress. You know, vacation one's over. When do I get to get out of here again? That's, I think, what most people are thinking about.
The stress that I think more, if there's two items, you know, on the stress factor, and which one of these are more people stressing out about on Monday morning, is it the presidential election and Joe Biden dropping out of the race yesterday, or is it returning to work after this big tech computer outage and figuring out, one, does everything work when I go back to the office, or am I going to have to catch up and, like, is it just going to be the day from hell in the office? I think that takes the cake, that you have more people this morning worrying about their work computer situation than you do the presidential election.
And employers are stressed over having to pay overtime to recover from all of
it. To figure out exactly what's going on. And I had that because when this news broke yesterday, I was surrounded by people in an airport. You know what people are doing in an airport? Sitting down looking at their phones.
Yeah.
So everybody knew this happened when it happened. Right, because that's how you'd find out about it. Like, word would spread. I didn't hear a single person talking about it in the entire airport that I was filled with people.
Because they're more like, so my flight's 2 hours delayed?
Yeah. Like, I think that kind of takes the cake, which is not to say that nobody's feeling anxious. Trust me, I see these people comment online all the time. But 73% just seems a little out of whack to me.
Yeah,
with reality.
I don't think that's, I mean, I know a lot of people who are like me, follow politics, you know, closely. I wouldn't say a majority of them are stressed. Again, I think now maybe in September, October, I'd believe that poll a little more. I just don't think a majority of Americans are as tuned into politics as some in the media would like you to believe. And that might not be good or bad. You know, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney was on with me last night, and she said, she goes, I wish more people were paying attention. I wish more people were focused. I think a lot of people are turned off by politics just because of the toxicity in Washington. So I think that's a very interesting sample size of people they must have pulled.
Do you think more people should be interested and invested?
Maybe not. I think more should know what's going on. Does that? I don't think people should be like me and go, okay, what podcast am I going to listen to today? What, you know, what viewpoint am I going to get? I don't think it should be like that. I think more people should know what's going on, especially around election time. Do some research.
I don't know. I go back and forth on this. Like, in theory, Joe, yes, it would be good to have a totally informed electorate. In practice, I don't think I could survive in a world so annoying where everybody knew what was going on all the time.
But I don't think to be involved. I don't think to be involved. It has to be one of these people that's every Facebook post, every tweet.
But it would be.
I don't think it has to be.
But think about the voices that you have right now that are, you know, hit you over the head. Now magnify that. It wouldn't be everybody, but it would be a lot more people if everybody was informed, and just adding more to what we already have. Oh, it would be insufferable. I wouldn't be able to take it.
You might be right. I don't think it would. And that's not what I'm talking. I'm not talking about all day, every day. I'm just be a little more informed of what's going on. Like I said, don't turn on Fox News. Don't turn on CNN and believe everything you hear. That's a lot of that's opinion, right? Check it by another source. If CNN and Fox News are having the same headline, Brian, then they're accurate, right? Like that's what I mean. Just know the parties, know what's going on, know what each candidate stands for. Don't just read an email from Kamala Harris saying, oh, this is what Trump, or from Trump saying, oh, this is Kamala Harris. Just be a little more informed on who's running, the process, and when Election Day is.
In theory, I totally agree with you. In practice, I don't know. Again, I like it better when just people are
blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not paying attention to whatever's going on. I think I kind of like that better. The process from here on out, is there like a way that you would love to see this play out? Like, is there a most interesting way for this to happen or something that you're rooting for? Like, we've heard so many different ideas. You know, there's just the simple open convention, right? All the delegates would hash it out. You'd have anyone who wants to run for president making their case, trying to win over the delegates on the floor. Like, is that the best possible option? Is what's going on now the best possible option? Or this idea of like a blitz primary? You've heard that a couple times.
The mini primary.
Being thrown around.
Joe Manchin today said, I'm not running for president, but I would like to see the mini primary play out. I think regardless what happens, this is going to be very interesting. And the Democrats are lucky that the Olympics happened or their convention would be going on next week. But, you know, it's now back to August. And I will say this, and I know I view it from a bias on the right. So I just want everyone to know that this is my opinion coming from my bias. However, if they don't do the mini primary, if it is just Kamala Harris is the VP, she's got the support. I think a lot of people are going to look at this as the Democratic Party. And this doesn't just go for them. They're just the party that's in right now. I think this is politicians in general. Think they know more than you, the voter, and they're going to tell you who you're supporting. They're going to tell you who to vote for. I think that's a big problem with politics, again, on both sides of the aisle, this thinking I know more than you because I'm a politician. And I think it's going to turn off a lot of people. Now, I say that with my opinion and my bias. We'll see how it plays out.
I don't know if that... I get what you're saying. I don't know if I totally agree that a lot of people would think that way, because that was the whole primary. There wasn't really a competitive primary to begin with. This whole going against the will of the voter, not really. We talked about this from the get-go. There was not a competitive Democratic primary.
No, but this goes back to my thinking that people knew before the 27th the condition of Joe Biden, and I think there are voters that are saying, why wasn't this made earlier so we could have a primary, so we could have different candidates, we could have a real debate?
I just think from a pure, you know, spectator standpoint, the idea of an open convention.
Yelling on the floor?
Oh, my goodness.
Like old school Wall Street?
Is that not something that you'd be glued to on TV?
Oh, I'd watch it. Yeah.
I mean, you'd have all these delegates, you know, trying to make their decision. And then in real time, you'd have people sending a flurry of text messages to all these people on the floor, right? Yep. Like, hey, no, go with it. You know, trying to persuade their delegates that they know. I think it would be so interesting.
It's 2 in the morning. They're on their 12th ballot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it will be. I think it's
you
going
to be
interesting.
You want people involved in politics. There's the way to do it.
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be interesting to watch. And, you know, talking to Mitch Nowakowski yesterday about what he's anticipating as a delegate was very interesting. And it's going to be, for a political nerd like me, interesting to watch play out.
Well, I don't think it will be. There will be no.
Or just how it plays out. I mean, because.
But it's going to. By the end of the week, it will be clear that
Kamala Harris is on the ticket.
Yes.
And it will take away the spectator sport that would be, and I would love to see that. It is going to be interesting how the VP selection goes. Won't be as fun, don't get me wrong.
I couldn't think of a single Olympic event that I'd rather watch than what that would be in an open convention. I don't think any of them would get better ratings. We'll be back here. BMaz and Beamer, let us know what you're thinking of the last 24 hours here on WBEN.
It's BMaz and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
It is Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And a lot of so I got back from Nashville yesterday, Joe. I went yesterday to the Johnny Cash Museum.
Very cool.
Which, you know, you're there, you have to check out.
Yeah.
I love so many of the things. I took two pictures in the Johnny Cash Museum. One, I took a picture. They just had in the case marbles. just Johnny Cash's marbles from when he was a kid or whatever. And it said, these marbles were among the few toys that young Johnny Cash had as a child. So I took a picture of that to show to my son.
Very
cool. And I go, look, when Johnny Cash was your age, this was his only toy, these three marbles. Trying to, you know, hammer. I don't think he understood the point.
No.
And then I took a picture of a handwritten note from Cash, and I just thought it was so, like, I read this and I knew this was my, you know, it reaffirmed this being one of my favorite people ever. December 14th, 1999. If a bunch of lazy people had simply put in 1999 instead of just 99, there would be no Y2K bug. I never did that.
Smart guy.
What a guy.
Smart guy.
Just, you know, just put the other two numbers. Like, how hard is it?
We discovered how hard it was.
I guess so. But that's, you know, those are my two pictures from the Johnny Cash Museum that I liked a lot.
Now, the one thing the Johnny Cash Museum doesn't have is what I think was his best performance of all time when he played the villain in Columbo. One of my favorite Columbo episodes.
Are you sure they don't have that? They might. They might have changed it.
Okay.
Because they had a lot of him in the movies and TV on like one screen. That might be in the loop.
Oh,
I didn't stay
awesome.
To look at the whole loop. Too many.
You know, I would stay there to see if Columbo.
Yeah. Too many people in that room.
Great episode. He crashes the plane, jumps out of it, gets a minor injury, and then pulls himself up on the plane wreckage when they come to find him. Great episode.
I was feeling for people traveling over the weekend, trying to get to wherever they need to go. Hopefully everything's sorted out. Yesterday seemed like things were running pretty smooth, but I don't know, man.
I know Delta in Albany is still a huge problem. I got my update from the Times Union this morning. So I know there are some select airports that are still seeing leftover cancellations from Friday.
You walk into those places and you just see the screens flickering and you have that feeling like, man, this is not good. No. Like, or your flight's supposed to leave in 10 minutes. It's still telling you it's on time, but there's no plane or gate agent. something tells me this isn't happening.
It's like the screens looked like the looked like above the aviation minister or whatever it was in Canada. Remember that famous newsreel where she's saying, hey, we have more flights on time, less flights canceled. And the cameraman pans up and you see all the cancellations at the Toronto airport.
that was the best.
That was Friday.
That's the greatest cameraman in history. That was all Friday. Yeah, I woke up, turned on the TV in my room, which I was already not where I was supposed to be overnight. And the first thing I see is the reporter at the airport. Nationwide ground stop. Can you imagine? Like, that's the first thing you see. Like, I think I almost threw the clicker through the TV.
So you weren't supposed to be in Washington Thursday night. Did they put you up in the room?
Yes.
Nice hotel?
It was a hotel.
Okay.
Like, it was neither good nor bad.
So
can I say that?
I had a delay, this is years ago, coming back from Florida, at LaGuardia. And I said, well, I've missed my plane. This is after they wouldn't put me on the Rochester flight. And they said, well, we've run out of all the Hampton Inn. So now, I forgot what the hotel was called.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, they gave me a $40 credit to the bar at this hotel.
Yeah.
Because I was very upset that the person in front of me got the last Hampton Inn once I checked in.
They might as well have called this hotel the United Inn. Because it seemed like everybody who was there was on a delayed, you know, United flight that they put. And they had it running very smoothly because they knew the food voucher system. Like, yes, we have our fully loaded snack bar right here. And we know exactly how to put these vouchers into the system so you can use them. I mean, they had it down to a T. And there was everybody doing the same thing. And when I woke up in the morning, I was with everybody headed back to the airport for another round of things, and we're all in that shuttle together going, this isn't going to be good. Just knowing what we know. But you end up making it back, and everything works out okay. Hopefully it's working out okay for wherever you are, whether you were traveling or just having a nightmare at work. And I said, we were saying earlier this morning, I feel like there's really two types of people in the office on Friday. And this might even be our building right now, with like the two sides of our building, where there's types of people where whatever you do for work, you know, if you were completely disrupted on Friday, you show up on Monday and it's like, well, that was in the past. Like the past, it doesn't matter. It's a new day, like has no impact on you going forward. Then there's probably a lot of people who whatever did not get done or was messed up on Friday now means this entire week is just slogging through because you have extra stuff to do.
Yeah, and maybe you've lost what you attempted to do on Friday.
Yeah.
We are definitely in the, well, we weren't even here on Friday. Joe was here on Friday, but we were not here on Friday. So for us, it's like, hey, everything go okay?
Well, I felt so bad on Friday because I'm seeing this. And, you know, my first thing is, well, I've got to get myself to the airport. I have no idea what's going on there. Let me get situated over here and I'll end up sitting around for 6 hours, which is what I did. But, you know, got to let me get myself situated. And as soon as I did, called into here because I was feeling for everybody. I'm like, if these computers are down, let me at least, like, hey, you got to fill the airtime with somebody. Yeah. I'm here for you.
Yeah, like, I'll
be here right now for at least the next little bit here while I still have not lost all of my soul to waiting in an airport for however many hours. So I did have to call and check because I did feel bad. I know that feeling walking in here in the morning when nothing's working, which I'm sure it's the same for no matter what job you have. You walk in and whatever vital piece of equipment is broken, oh, that's rough.
I had my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I took my son for a walk on the beach. And then when I got back, I took off the Do Not Disturb and saw all the emails. And I thought, man, that sucks.
Yeah. delete.
Nothing I can do about it. I'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Nothing I can do about it right now. But yeah, I'm just hoping that like the update, can we rethink the updates?
Yeah, not for every little
every
thing.
Week, there's some like hours long update on every computer and phone in America. Like, is it a little bit of overkill? I kind of think it is.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know what they were updating, Brian. I can't imagine it was worth this.
Like, I don't need iOS 7.2.3.6. Yeah. Like, we could just stop at the 0.1 or something.
And my phone is so old that it's an update away from me having to finally go and get a new one, which I'm holding off. I'm 6 years with this phone. Everyone tells you can't go 6 years. Now, I have to charge it 8 times a day, but 6 years going strong with this phone. We'll see how many more months we can get out of it.
I'm in the same way. And it's just, you know, one morning you're going to wake up and it's going to be like the computer's at work on Friday. Nothing's going to work. And it's like, all right, I guess I'm out $1,000. That's how that morning's going to go.
It's all over.
It's like a bad car repair or something. 803-0930, taking your calls and text messages this morning. What did you think of yesterday's news? The president dropping out of the race, which, you know, Joe, it's not technically unprecedented, but I feel like we should call it unprecedented. When it hasn't happened in either of our lifetimes, I think that's enough to say
that's unprecedented.
How do you want to see it go forward? What do you think the best course of action is here? What is, you know, if you are not really on either side and you almost watch it for entertainment purposes, which there's a lot of people out there who do that. You know, you keep tabs, you want to be informed, you know.
Can't stand either party.
Yeah. What do you want to see? Like, what would be the best way for you to decide who runs in the president's place? Even though it seems like a foregone conclusion that it's Kamala Harris right now. 803-0930, let us know.
By the way, you talked about in our lifetimes, this is the first election of our lifetimes that a Clinton, Bush, or Biden won't be on the ticket. First time since you and I have been born that will happen. 76 was the last year that there was no Clinton, Bush, or Biden on one of the tickets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
It is.
Can we get a few more guys in the mixer? Like, that's a pretty big country. We're like three people? Unbelievable.
Almost 50 years between the elections that didn't involve one of those three names.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of things I've been thinking about, the path going forward. You know, I'm kind of on both sides of the aisle, and it's one of the questions we've been asking our guests this morning, which if you missed any of, Karen Travers live from the White House, Jeremy Zellner, the Erie County Democratic Party chair. We talked with Jack O'Donnell of O'Donnell and Associates, Steve Roberts, so many people, Stephen Portnoy, all these people trying to assess what's going on. Odyssey app, WBEN.com, if you want to hear any of those on demand again. And a lot of them, my number one question going forward was asking for Democrats right now, are they going with the person who they feel is going to be the best candidate and give them the best opportunity to win the election? Or are they going with the easiest option right now? Because from my vantage point, and I could be wrong on this. Now, there's a couple things that, work against what I, my personal opinion on this, which is that they're just kind of going with the easiest option, the less friction option. How can we get this done quickly and with as few upset people and not as many more people damaged in the eyes of the voters as we possibly can going forward? That's how I feel. But there are a few things that, throw a monkey wrench in there. One, no one's come forward. You would think that if somebody were serious about challenging or wanting to be the nominee, that not just in the last, less than 24 hours, mm-hmm. they would have come forward and said something, but really in the last 3 weeks, since the debate performance, there has not been a Democrat to step forward and say, this can be me. Yep. If Joe Biden is not the nominee, I would like to throw my hat in the ring and be the nominee. That hasn't happened. So, in one sense, you can't really shift to somebody else or entertain all options when there is only one declared option right now.
And the optics would be so bad. Right. If you say we're jumping over the vice president, the person that the party told you.
I don't think so. Because you just argued the opposite in the last segment, that the optics are bad by going with somebody without opening it up for more debate. Right.
I think the optics are bad, but I think the optics would also be bad if they both ways. You got me on that. Both ways. I think the optics are bad. Just the fact that he dropped out when
it's not an ideal situation. Right.
Right. But jumping over. I think someone saying, I'm going to run for president over the vice president.
Is it jumping over?
I mean, usually the vice president's picked. I mean, we haven't seen it in the last few elections, but the vice president's picked as this is the next person for the party, right? We saw it with Reagan and Bush. We saw it with Clinton and Gore. We did not see it with Obama and Biden or Trump and Pence. But I think mostly you pick the VP thinking, okay, I'm getting this person ready to run in 8 years.
That's what it's turned into, but I don't know in this case it necessarily would look, like it's somebody who was put by the wayside or, jumped over to get to this point.
But you're right, it's not an ideal situation because I think it looks bad if you don't have a primary. I also think it looks bad to Democrats if you don't strongly consider Kamala Harris. I think both ways there is going to be negative press from this.
She would obviously be considered. I just can't imagine, as a party, Democrats going into the next few weeks, really. I mean, might even be sooner than that if they do a roll call vote right ahead of the convention. I just can't imagine going in with the track record that Harris has and saying, yes, this is the best person we have available to potentially win this election. She does not have a great track record in elections.
No. I mean, you mentioned, but 4 years ago, she couldn't even get to Iowa.
That's the most recent, big time example, right? She went into the primary as one of the candidates. Like, she was not the long shot candidate we talked about in the first segment. She was not the person who joined in, said, I'm running for president, that everyone looked at and said, yeah, she's not going to make it. Like, no, she was like, okay, you're maybe one of the front runners. You know, you're in the mixer as somebody who could emerge from this as the candidate.
She made her name during the Kavanaugh hearing, and Kamala Harris got a lot of traction after that.
And it ended before Iowa. I mean, like, that's the... She did not get a single electoral vote. Like, that is... That's poor.
Yeah, that's not good.
And, you know, ends up being the VP pick. You go back to 2010, she wins the attorney general's race in California, really one of the only contested elections she's had to win. And she did it by a point.
Yeah.
She underperformed all other Democrats on the, and you know, you're a Democrat in California, you win by 1 point. You won, right? They don't ask how, they ask how many. But still, it's not a great track record. And then you have this. You are presented here. I kept hearing this from the guests inside the White House that we had on this morning, from a lot of the political analysts who were describing a sigh of relief, right? We kept hearing that term over and over again this morning. It's almost a sigh of relief. Okay, he made this decision. Everyone was pushing for it. Now we can finally move on. But in, you know, my head, how I'm viewing this, like, you're not really moving on. You're not really turning the page. Even though you do have the opportunity to do that now, and I just think it's kind of crazy to not entertain the opportunity. All of this is not to say maybe she is the best candidate that you could have right now. But shouldn't she have to prove it in some way going forward? Like, and wouldn't that make everybody a little bit more comfortable? Because you, by the way, just had a candidate where you went through the primary with no real challenger. He is your nominee. He's going to be the guy. And all of a sudden, he has a test and fails. Don't you want to have a test before you do that again and nominate another person?
Because once you nominate her, you can't bet. There's no three tries.
And to me, you're bringing in somebody from the administration who now carries the baggage of the administration when you don't necessarily have to do that. You could have a fresh start.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of surprised. One of the raps you played this morning, Brian, said that, you know, this is going to be a difficult pivot for the Trump administration or for the Trump campaign, which I don't think it will, because I think you're right. They can still run the attacks they were running on the Biden record on Kamala Harris. Again, one of the top three issues for swing voters, which, let's be honest, they're the ones that matter, for swing voters is the border. That is in the top three of every swing state swing voter polling that you see. Kamala Harris was allegedly in charge of the border. She was the border czar. That's very unpopular. The Biden administration handling of the border is very unpopular. You wonder how they reverse that. But I don't think it's the difficult pivot for the Trump campaign that some are making it sound, making it out to be.
I think when you own the record, it's not quite a clean slate. You have to kind of excuse it's. In many ways, to me, it's a lot like what happened in New York, where Kathy Hochul takes over for Andrew Cuomo and kind of has to do one of these, like, hardly know the guy. You know, well, yep. We weren't close at all. You know, no idea what kind of voicemails he was leaving. Like, I didn't even, when have we ever been pictured together? Like, she had to do kind of one of those things because of the scandal where he leaves. And now it's, you know, almost the same thing that she kind of has to do in some ways.
This.
You know, how you stood by him, you said he was fit to be candidate. Well, you know, we didn't really talk that much. Yeah, we had lunch, but it was a phone lunch or something.
Yeah,
you know,
Zoom lunch.
I don't know how you explain a lot of that. And I, you know, look, there's a lot of questions in the coming days when we're running short on time. But I just think it would be foolish of the party to not really explore your options. You have an unprecedented opportunity here to kind of start fresh if you want it. Not saying that they will want it, but why not explore the opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. Well, Brian, this obviously won't be the last time we talk about it. David Bellavia will be up next. You heard him yesterday. He'll be back with you after the news with Lucas. The news with Lucas, Brian, will include this story happening in Niagara Falls. A train has crashed into a garage. at 35th and Seneca. This story breaking, Lucas Buckley will have info on that, and we will bring you the details as it breaks. Brian and I will be back tomorrow here on News Radio 930 WBEN.